Hey, what up, Long Beach? Welcome back to another episode of our weekly podcast here at your home for everything local sports. This is What Up, Long Beach. This is the 562.org. I am JJ Fiddler, and kind of across the table, this is Mike Artabasio. We're going handheld mic today.
We're rocking side saddle here in downtown Long Beach, the office of the Long Beach Post.
See, JJ, Mike's all a flutter now because he's not got the mic stand.
JJ and I are both a little bit sick also, so forgive us if anyone passes out and hits their head on the microphone mid-show.
Change of weather. Every single time, man. Spring to summer, summer to fall, always.
I get it. I don't get that. I get once a year, and it lasts an extra day every year that I'm alive. It used to be that it was one day, and then now it's like 8 days. Last year it was 7 days. I got sick last Tuesday. And literally, I jinxed myself because the first thing I thought was, at least I won't be sick for the Signal Hill cross country meet. I had a full week. Cut to me yesterday, halfway up Signal Hill, coughing my freaking lungs out.
It's never Izzy at Hill, yeah. So make sure you check out that coverage at the 562.org.
Earned it.
Earned it for sure. We are definitely earning our keep here at Long Beach Post. Each week we are doing two stories, one high school, one college, kind of like a college corner and a high school notebook, really updating you on literally everything cool happening with Long Beach sports. So it's kind of like you give us a couple minutes, we'll give you what's going on in Long Beach. And that includes the show, our 5-minute video recap of the top stories here in local sports. But that's not the only thing going on, Mike.
The hats continue. JJ and I did not get into this business to be hat salesmen, but we've become well, maybe you did. I'm like looking at you and I'm like, except I have never seen you without a hat.
My entire life is just selling hats and backpacks.
We are very good at selling hats, apparently. The orders continue to pour in. There's an article up on the website, if you haven't seen it yet, that will show you how to get involved. But the number one thing you have to do is you've got to go to our Patreon and sign up as a subscriber to support all of the sports coverage that we're doing. The hats are exclusively for sale to our subscribers. So go sign up on the Patreon, and then you can find out how to get your hat. Snapback 562 logo hats. You're going to be seeing them out. This is the last week to order them. We're going to close it next week. So you'll be seeing them in the wild soon enough. After we get all the pre-orders in, we'll order them and name your game. We'll get them out to everyone. I can't wait to show up to games and see people in 562 hats.
Yeah, shouts to Name Your Game for helping us with that. Shouts to our guy, Brian Dunning. My father-in-law, Ray Penn, everybody kind of like chipped in a little bit. And at the end of the day,
what did Brian do?
We had these amazing, he made the original, the logo. 562.org. And then Ray came in and put the home of Long Beach sports got Name Your Game involved. So yeah, it's been a complete team effort. And really that's what this whole thing is, right? The 562.org is just a team effort because Long Beach sports is the ultimate team effort. And that's what we're here for. Brought to you by Long Beach, paid for by Long Beach, for Long Beach all the time.
Last weekend was kind of a crazy one at the Gardabasio household. We went, our good friend Beef from college got married, so we spent all Saturday hanging out with our college friends. Sunday morning, we had Ariana Washington and her fiance Clay Murphy came over and hung out. And then our friend Connor was in town with his daughter and his wife. So all of our college friends came over and hung out at my house all day Sunday. Basically nonstop hanging out with friends Saturday and Sunday. No time to cook. Obviously,
the way it should be.
No time to cook. So what did we do? We went down to Naples Rib Company. We got a hog pack. There was something for everybody. We had a couple friends who were vegetarians. Not a big deal. Plenty of delicious veggies and non-meat options for them at Naples Rib Company. So we made sure everyone got something. Everyone went home full. Everyone went home happy. And then we just threw everything. We just threw all the, you know, the trash in the trash. And then we were done. That was it. It was great. Nice, easy way. Probably had about 40 people over the course of the weekend. And it was great to be able to provide some food for them without having to do any of the work.
It is time once again for our O the Week segment. Questions, athletes, players, quotes, and our list O the Week coming at you. You know, I meant to say it last week, so I'm going to say it this week. Send us your recommendations for lists O the Week, question of the week, athlete of the week. Like, we want to know what you think. This show's only going to get better if you guys get involved. So please do hit us up on our emails, which are very easy, jj@the562.org and mike@the562.org. So our question of the week this week is, who is going to win more league girls volleyball? Because they will decide that on Thursday night in the Ron Palmer Pavilion.
Answer, it'll be Poly or Lakewood.
Pretty easy. It's a winner-take-all situation. Pauly beat Lakewood at Lakewood last month in the first meeting. This is officially the last day of Morley girls volleyball action in the regular season. The playoffs are going to start next week, and one of these teams is going to go in as a league champ.
What's exciting about this game for me is, number one, I love it when the two best teams in the Morley play at the end of the year. I wish that was the case for every sport.
It hasn't happened in a long time,
man. It's just a coincidence of the schedule. But what's great about this is exactly what JJ said. These two teams have won the last nine championships, but usually because Lakewood and Pauly have not lost to Wilson or Millikan, usually they go into the second meeting with one team trying to complete a season sweep and the other team trying to force a co-championship. This year there will be no co-championship. Both teams have one loss. Lakewood lost to Pauly. Pauly lost to Wilson. So the winner of this will be 11-1, a league champ, and the loser of this will be 10-2 and second place team out of the league. I love that. I don't think we've covered a winner take all league championship match in girls volleyball.
We've said it all fall. The Moore League has not been this close in this season. Football, girls volleyball, tennis, golf, all that, water polo, in a long time. And the improvement of the entire league, the Millikans and the Wilsons getting better, has made for this final winner-take-all. It makes the league better. This is what everybody's been screaming about for the last few weeks in Moore League football. It's now very clear that Moore League football will only get better if the middle of the league gets better.
Right.
That's the only way. It's the only way other teams in the league can pick up divisions as you go. You got to beat good teams and all that stuff. And that's what we're seeing right here. Wilson and Millikan are making Pauly and Lakewood better, vice versa. It's a beautiful thing. We're extremely excited for Thursday. That is 4:30, Ron Palmer Pavilion, Long Beach Pauly and Lakewood playing for the Moore League title in girls volleyball.
To JJ's actual question of who's going to win that thing, I genuinely have this as a toss-up. Pauly did beat Lakewood pretty convincingly the first time they played, but Lakewood looks really good. They got further in the Redondo tournament last weekend than Pauly did. It's a rivalry match. They're both young teams playing in front of what's probably going to be a very loud and rowdy crowd. So I have this as a true toss-up, personally.
I think that's a great point. Very young teams. It's not senior night. Both teams being very smart and celebrating their senior night at home.
Coaches have been they've been through the rigmarole before, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of emotion. So, and we've seen both teams rattled. We saw Pauly rattled in their loss at Wilson. We saw Lakewood rattled in their loss to Pauly. So both teams have shown propensity to maybe fall off the horse a little bit. So I would put Lakewood at a bit of an underdog only because of home court advantage.
Right.
Pauly's feeling great at home, last one. This is, if you're going to say to a team before the season, hey, you get to win your league title with one victory at home in the last day of the regular season, I'm pretty sure everybody would take that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So here you go. Here it is. That's the only reason why I'd say Lakewood's a slight underdog, but you never know. That's been the lesson of this fall season in the Moore League. You just never know. So make sure you check out the coverage at the562.org.
Moving on to our athletes of the week, it was another exciting week, obviously, in the 562. Our high school athletes of the week open up with a pair of football players. Sone Aupiu from St. Anthony, the sophomore stud running back, had 19 carries for 157 yards and two touchdowns to help lead the Saints to a big win that keeps them in that league championship hunt. He now has five touchdowns in two league games for the Saints.
How about Compton football senior offensive lineman Jonathan Fernandez? He made his 2019 debut last Friday in a big win over Millikan. He was our cover guy representing Compton on the cover of the annual Grunion Gazette Long Beach football preview. Injured himself in the preseason, that preseason scrimmage. First game back after missing six games. No big deal. He just helped plow the road for 416 rushing yards on 54 carries and seven touchdowns in a victory over Millikan. Well, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
To the hard court, Lakewood freshman Samara Dakood helped lead the Lancers to a win over Wilson last week to set up that Moore League championship with Pauly. She had 10 kills and 10 digs. Freshman phenom, definitely a bright future, and Lakewood will need a lot from her in that match against the Jackrabbits. We do have one college athlete of the week, Sadaf Sadegh Vaziri of Long Beach State Tennis. She went 7-0 last weekend, won the Flight B singles title, and combined with partner Lalita, I cannot pronounce her last name, to take
Ooh,
the
I
Flight B.
I thought you were going to go 2-2.
No, 1-2 is Hall of Fame numbers to win the Flight B doubles crown as well.
So those are our athletes of the week. Make sure you check that out at the562.org each and every Monday. We move on to our game of the week, and obviously it would be girls volleyball, but we've already talked about that. So let's go to Moore League football, where the game of the week is Lakewood at Wilson. And it's a good thing we did playoff percentages last week on the show, Mike, because those percentages really went either incredibly high or incredibly low after the results last week.
This was the, if you're one of those weirdos who likes looking at the win probability charts in like a baseball game or a basketball game, which I'm not, but they come up on the Score app on ESPN, yeah. Right? It's you know when a team hits the grand slam in the seventh inning and then their line goes all the way to 100%, mm-hmm. The other team goes all the way to 0%. That's what happened last week in the Moore League basically with Compton beating Millican, because effectively we are looking at Pauley, Wilson, and Lakewood as our playoff teams at this point. Compton would need to win out and then would still tie Wilson, and Wilson would have the tiebreaker against them. Millican, obviously, with four losses is basically out of it and will not have a good enough overall record to get at-large consideration most likely. So it's really these three teams, and so this game, Lakewood versus Wilson, is, we could call it the second place game, but if you're a Lakewood fan, you're probably thinking of it as a championship game, because Lakewood still hasn't lost a league game. So if they were to beat Wilson, it would set up a game against Pauley for the Moore League championship.
Yes.
But, you know, we personally, obviously, I think we've seen a lot out of Wilson. I'm looking at this as the two seed game. And agreed. I think it's a huge game, obviously.
It's a massive game. It's been a great game the last 2 years. Last 2 years, they played some quality contests, went to an overtime thriller 2 years ago. So it's always good. And right now, the weaknesses of both teams set up very well for the strength of their opponent. Lakewood does not have a very experienced or opportunistic defensive secondary. That's where Wilson's been good. Take what the defense gives you. A patient Ryan Pettway has been the best Wilson offense, right?
Ryan Pettway is going to have a lot of fun on Friday night.
Okay.
If he's able to play that way, yeah.
So could Giovanni McCoy, because the Wilson defense has given up really big plays to mobile quarterbacks this year. Non-mobile quarterbacks have not been as good against Wilson as guys who can move around the pocket, run if they see it, and throw it if they have to. And that's basically what McCoy's been in the Moore League. Going to be very interested to see a little bit more about how they protected him during their non-league. Like, basically, Scott Meyer didn't call any plays that put him at risk of getting hit unnecessarily for, like, the first month and a half of the season. And now, all of a sudden, it's his feet that are carrying them to a possible second place finish in the Moore League. So it's going to be very interesting to see what those two defenses are able to do against two very good quarterbacks.
I'm going to be covering Pauley's road game against Compton. Excited to see whether or not Compton's offense continues to flourish. But whenever I go cover a football game, there's weeks where you're glued to your updates on your Twitter, and then there's weeks where you're like, just let me know what the final score is. Millican Compton last week, I knew was going to be a great game. I think this is going to be the same thing. I'm sure I'm going to have people asking me all night for this. So please tweet as often as you can, Jage.
I definitely will. We will also have the cool moment of Scott Meyer, Mark Ziegenhagen. We have seen an incredible amount of turnover when it comes to Long Beach sports coaches. Yes. Obviously more in football than anything else. On Friday night, I'm going to get there early enough to see Scotty Meyer and Ziggy shake hands, because these guys work together. They've worked in local football for a really long time. Ziggy played at Long Beach State. The Meyer family is heavily involved in the district. The fact that those two guys are leading two Long Beach football programs, LBUSD football programs, is something that you and I probably would have laughed at 5 years ago. Like, oh, yeah,
it'd
sure.
It'd be great to get those guys back. Right? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think you need to say anything other than the fact that Ziggy coaches a football team that plays in a stadium named after Scott's grandfather.
Boom. Thanks, Mike. Our players to watch this week.
And their school board representative is Scott's dad.
Our player to watch this week, we're going to go to college for it. And really, it's a player that we've always been watching, because she is the Erin Kraft of Long Beach State Volleyball. I feel like we've been covering Haley Harward for the last decade.
I got a chance to interview Haley before the season, and when we sat down, the first thing I said to her, I said, "You're still here?" But I was sort of joking. I mean, she is, yeah, she's into her master's program. She's had some red shirts, and she's playing beach, so she gets basically two extra seasons. But she's also the girlfriend of TJ DeFalco, the men's volleyball national player of the year, who's now playing on the national team. And so it is a little bit that feeling of like the 11th grader who had all friends that were seniors and they all graduated. And then it's like, oh, and then you're still here. Yep. You still have to go through all that.
Well, she's putting herself on the lists over there at Long Beach State, which, as everyone knows, is a volleyball school. She reached double-figure digs in both of their matches last week to go to almost 1,400 digs for her career, which is 20 shy of moving into fourth all-time at Long Beach State. And that's extra impressive if you consider the fact that volleyball used to be scored very differently, which allowed for the players to collect a lot more statistics such as digs,
right,
assists, and kills.
All of the counting numbers, you know, hitting percentages and stuff like that's a little bit different. But, yeah, she's great. She's one of the few college liberos I've ever seen that I would say is worth the price of admission. They're struggling considerably as a team right now, but definitely still a player worth worth paying attention to.
They're struggling considerably as a team, but they did pick up a win last week, which was a big one, because they're not at the bottom of the Big West. And we know that at some point this whole thing is going to come together for them. It's good to know that they're not going to have to push off the bottom of that conference
to
get there.
But you're looking for, I mean, just as someone who's covered that team for a number of years, you're looking for this year to be like a, you know, like a third or fourth place, so that when the big talent influx comes in next year, it's like, do they go from, you know, third slash fourth
that's
to
what
first?
I'm saying.
And instead now you're like, how far can the freshmen take them? You know, they're definitely behind where they wanted to be and where I assumed they'd be.
If they have a good week at home this week, they will be above 500 in conference. And that's where you want to be if you want to be headed in the right direction. So we move on to our quote of the week. And our quote of the week comes from a story that we've got on the 562.org right now that I wrote last week about four Cabrillo football senior starters who also work like 30 to 40 hour a week jobs. And yeah, I think we've all seen or personally experienced working a job in high school. It's part of growing up. But it's also extremely difficult if you're supposed to also be a leader on a football team where every single day you're expected to put hours into that experience, that extracurricular activity. Receiver Roger McMillan, nose guard Christian Reyes, center Nicholas Marino, and defensive end Edgar Haro are those seniors who have jobs. It's jobs everywhere from McDonald's, which you know of, to like working at 4 a.m. on a shipping boat off the coast of Catalina. These kids have incredible jobs.
I actually ran into one of them at that McDonald's over there on the west side. Actually, like when I was going to cover a volleyball match at Cabrillo, yeah.
Yeah, and so I talked to Coach Mike Ulafale about it, and he gave me the answer that should be the answer for all sports athletic coaches from now and on forever. His answer was, quote, "It just shows commitment. A lot of my sophomores and juniors are looking up to these guys where they can balance work, school, and play. I can't stop them from making their money. They've got families they have to help provide for. Football is there for them to let loose after work and any stress they need to leave behind," end quote. That's it, dude. That's the future. If you are demanding high school kids put every single extra hour they have into your program, you are limiting their growth as a person.
Well, we've talked.
Full stop.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this with kids that play club sports being the same thing. That's somewhere where you might say those tend to be kids from more affluent families, and their parents have basically decided volleyball is your job, right? Soccer is your job. Your job is to try and earn a college scholarship, whatever else. This is obviously more of an immediate need for their families, but it's the same basic thing that in a world where kids have more responsibility, more burden on them than used to be the case because of debt loads and everything else, and there's also more options of stuff they can do in their free time in terms of video games or phones, et cetera, et cetera. It's exactly what you said. You've got to fit into their life. You can't expect kids to fit their life around a high school sports team anymore.
More well-rounded people is better for the world as a whole. I think so. If you are walking through life myopic, you're limiting yourself and the people around you. I think these four kids are only going to be better people in the future because they had to figure out how to be dedicated to something that wasn't their passion.
Yeah.
That's so important, I think. Anyways, quote of the week, perfect quote from Mike Ulafale. List of the week goes off of that because, Mike, you and I have worked some pretty crazy jobs, both through high school and through college, and even at the beginning of our writing careers, where I was working as the golf starter in the pro shop at Recreation Park in 2008, trying to make that extra quiche so that we could keep the website alive.
I noticed that the that sunglasses by the Queen Mary did not make your list.
Bro, I've worked some crazy jobs, my friend.
Yeah, if we're being honest, this list should be like a 1 through 10 from you and none from me. I decided when I was 12 that I wanted to be a writer, and my family was dirt freaking poor, as you know. My mom made like $14,000 to $20,000 a year, substitute teaching while I was in high school, single mom, and so we were so broke that there was basically no expectation of me contributing mm-hmm. because it was just like, we're just broke, dude. I mean, you could throw me half of a minimum wage salary and we're still going to be broke. Right. So you may as well be a high school kid. What I have, and I, but because I was comfortable with that all through college, I never got a quote unquote day job. I was just, I'm going to be a writer or I'll starve to death, whatever. Mm. Right. So my weird jobs are just weird places I've written because I have been able to make some money writing starting about the age of 16 when I was winning essay contests and stuff, and then started freelance writing at 18. I know you know some of the weird spots, like Nails Magazine and School Bus Monthly.
I was pretty convinced that would be your number one.
Yeah. Yeah,
Mike was writing articles about school buses, y'all.
I was doing profiles on school bus drivers in, like, the Northeast. And stuff.
It's incredible.
I would say a number two would be I ghost wrote because I was embarrassed about it. What's the name that screenwriters use when they wrote something they directed something they're embarrassed about? Alistair Smithy or something?
Yeah, I can't remember it, but yeah, you're right.
I was ghostwriting when I was 18, in between high school and college, for a magazine called Golden Times, I believe was the name of it. And it was a retirement home magazine, and I was pretending to be an old lady.
So you were writing in old lady style.
I was writing, like, here's my memories of the 1950s. they did know that it was me. I mean, that was this was the arranged thing was that people would be doing that because right. It's a little hard to hold an 85-year-old person in a retirement home to a print deadline.
Yeah.
But I was doing that. And then that's probably it for me. I mean, I've got some other random weird stuff that I've done freelance-wise. But those would be the ones that I would tell on a talk show. You know what I mean?
my number one weird job is actually my favorite job. I worked at a movie theater while I was in high school. So I actually
Your list is called crazy/fun jobs. Yeah. This is the only crazy/fun job I've ever had. So mine became weird jobs. Yours are crazy/fun. Because this isn't a weird job. This is a great job.
I don't know. It's kind of weird because it doesn't exist anymore. So I worked as a football player, actually. I was also a football player who had a job. Worked at a movie theater down the street from Chaparral High. And I worked there for so long that I eventually got promoted to be one of the projectionists. And I'm going to date myself. This is back in the day when they actually delivered the full reels for the movie on Thursday night.
Wait, so, now you just get like a USB or what?
Yeah, basically. So that was not fully digital yet. So we would get the reels and we would, after everybody closed on Thursday night, the projectionist would get the late shift. And we would end up staying up till like 3 a.m., 4 a.m. because when you play the movie the first time, you literally have to play the first reel. And then cut it,
right?
Put it together, make sure the audio is correct, and then play it so it puts it itself on this whole disc. So my whole job for like a year while I was in high school
was to watch every new movie.
Every new movie, do all of my homework while they played, and then like write my own like scripts that I was working on. So it was the absolute perfect place for me to be because with a lack of free time while being a football player and all that stuff, it was like anything I need to do, I can just, you know, do during the middle of whatever movie is playing.
Right. Yeah, I like that. That's like a defining job in terms of my idea of you in high school. Your job number two is not the screen time appearance that I was hoping that you would put on here, but...
what was the screen time? Oh, that...
But go ahead,
Well, I did get paid for that one, but... yeah, so the second crazy fun job I had was I was an extra in the movie The Hot Chick. I don't know if anybody out there has seen it. It's not very good, but it does star Rob Schneider and a pre-famous Rachel McAdams. Very funny. I actually worked on the set for like a week. I got all of my SAG vouchers from this thing. So like all of my friends were really incredibly jealous that on one of my first featured extra calls, I got my SAG vouchers. But yeah, it was really cool. Legitimately got to hang out with Rachel McAdams because I didn't know who she was.
Have you told Tyler that?
Yes, okay. We've had long conversations.
Our friend Tyler's got a, well, he's got a girlfriend. That's right.
Long Beach State women's soccer goalie coach Patrick Seymour, also an extra on The Hot Chick. I just learned this last week. That's absolutely crazy. Hilarious. But yeah, I got paid a legitimate amount of money to hang out at El Segundo High School with Rob Schneider for a week. So that was a pretty crazy job. And then the last one is very quick. I worked at the recycling center at Long Beach State, the ASI recycling center at Long Beach State for 3 years, ended up being the assistant manager for two. So that was really cool because working on campus, you get to know a lot of people. But when you're the trash guy, everybody knows you.
Yeah. I want to dwell for a moment on this, because I actually think this job was a big part of why we became friends and how we started working together. And the reason is, number one, my wife and I were delivering the college newspaper that all three of us worked at. And so we would have to, when we cleared the stands out of the old issues at Long Beach State, we have to bring those to the recycling center. So you were working the paper, I was working the paper, we'd see each other that way.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're in college or you're in high school, the way you become friends with someone is you just see them. You know what I mean? But I would add on top of that, that to pull the curtain back on me a little bit, when we got to college, it was kind of an uncomfortable position for me, because most of our friends at the college newspaper were white, but they were also from much more comfortable backgrounds than I was financially.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like very aware of that. And so I'd gone from an LBUSD public high school where I had like two white friends and everyone else was just as poor as I was and super, super diverse, to this group where I was like, am I like an upper middle class white guy now? Like, all my friends are upper middle class white people. And then you were like working at the recycling center. And so every time I would come talk to you, I was just like, all right, well, like, this, I, you know what I mean? Like, this makes more sense for me. But yeah, that was like, it was like a comfort zone a little bit, that it was like, okay, well, those people are having fun doing the paper and their parents are probably paying for them to go to college or whatever. But you and me are up at 6 o'clock in the morning to deliver newspapers or put people's old cardboard into a box to ship to China.
I love thinking about old jobs and how much you just, when you're working them, you're like, is this really worth it? I think I've gotten something great out of every job I've ever had. Maybe a friend, maybe an experience, maybe a truth I didn't know I already knew. But they've all been good. So I want to hear from you, the listener. Let us know what the craziest, and maybe you can make it a sports job. I don't know. Make it the craziest job, crazy fun job you've ever worked. Let us know.
Speaking of crazy jobs, one of the hardest working guys in Long Beach, one of our favorite guys, is Bobby Hawk. We dubbed him Bruin Bobby a while back. He's Mr. Wilson, but now, because he's joined on with the Lakewood football team as a helper out over there. Now we're just calling him Long Beach Bobby.
Yeah.
But he's everywhere, and everyone knows him. Everyone loves him, and this is the Bobby Bowl.
We interviewed him earlier this year, but last athletic year, about moving over to Lakewood from Wilson, and that was a really fun interview. So we had to get out there to Lakewood football practice this week and talk to him, because he's worked with a lot of football teams. He's worked with Wilson, St. Anthony, LBCC. He's now at Lakewood.
He's been ball boy, equipment manager,
all the stuff.
He likes to hide this, but he's actually helped out at a Poly game as well.
Oh, see?
So he's gotten, is that five of the five of the nine football teams Bobby's worked for?
And he's such a good ball boy that he's taught other young kids to be ball boys for the other teams. Like, Coach Scott Meyer's kid is the ball boy at Lakewood. Guess who taught him? Bobby. So I got to get out there to Lakewood and talk to Bobby a little bit about what it's like, because I believe that rivalries are rivalries because a lot of people have been involved in both teams or both schools or both programs. Like, that's how rivalries get good. The proximity infatuation, where you know somebody who went there or you went there, or you know what I mean? Like, the rivalries that are really far apart, where you just hate them because you see them once a year, those aren't nearly as fun or mean as much as something like this, where so many people at Lakewood have ties to Wilson. So many people at Wilson have ties to Lakewood. Lakewood athletic director Mike Wadley went to Wilson, for goodness sake.
The example I would use, that the Milliken-Lakewood rivalry that we've enjoyed for so many years. Obviously, the schools are close to each other and they were started just a year apart. But the football trophy that they play for, the Hamilton, is literally named after Donnie's Hamilton, who was an assistant principal at both schools in the first couple years that they were around. She was killed in a car accident way too young. And as such, both schools said, hey, we should be playing for a trophy and we should name it after this person, because everyone at both schools loved her.
Yeah, well, we love that. We love these local rivalries and we love talking to people like Long Beach Bobby.
Coming to you live via tape delay from Lakewood football practice here, like we said, with Lakewood Long Beach Bobby. What's up, bud? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. This is a big week for you. Lakewood football against Wilson football. You've worked for a lot of football teams in the city, but would you say Lakewood football, Wilson football, top two for you right now?
Yes, Lakewood football is number one in my heart with Scott Meyer. I'm ready to go.
So your season's been interesting, right? Like, you guys had a slow start, but here, undefeated in the Moore League. Are you excited to see how much this team has improved?
Yes.
Who are a couple of guys on the team that you think have really improved over the year?
Gio, the running back, James, Chase at O-line, and Coach Meyer calling the plays, too. when he was at when he was the DC at Wilson. Now he's the OC over here at Lakewood. So I'm happy that he's here.
You're absolutely right, man. What, you got a prediction for the game? What do you think's going to happen?
Lakewood upsets Wilson on homecoming. Lakewood 35, Wilson 34.
I like it. I like it. You going to give Ziggy a big hug when you see him on Friday night?
Yes, I am, and I'm going to give the other coaches a big hug, too.
You still love Wilson, though, that you're at Lakewood, right?
Yes, I do.
So thank you so much for joining the show, Long Beach Bobby.
Yes, sir.
That's it. That's all. There ain't no more. Another episode of What Up Long Beach is being put into the books. But before we get out of here, we do our recommendations each and every week. We're doing non-sports right now, trying to broaden your horizons, LB Nation. Mike has been watching a S-ton of horror movies this month because that's what you do every October, right, Mike?
Yeah, my number one recommendation is that you don't come near us and don't get sick and just, like, be healthy. My number one recommendation is health. Is that appropriate? God.
If only that was a button you could push.
Ah, no kidding. Yeah, in terms of movies.
Listen, I gave you 4 weeks.
Yeah, what did I do?
You had to do top four. Last week you did Halloween. Yeah, so you've got three left.
Okay, so this is, I'm stealing from you a little bit. But one thing for me that separates me from like my wife or from our friend Tyler or other people who like, Shar explained to me very early in our relationship, I wanted to take her to see a horror movie. She was like, I don't enjoy the way that I feel when I'm scared.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it isn't like a fun thing for me.
I kind of feel the same way, like at a haunted hayride. You're just kind of looking at everybody being like, yeah, we could be doing something a lot more constructive.
You'd have
this.
Fun going to horror nights with us next year because it's like, it's fun to do stuff like that in a group. But I do get it because like I'm that way with roller coasters. Like, I don't like feeling like I might die. It's not like, that's not like a fun thing for me.
I love
it. You know
that.
What I mean? Right.
Yeah.
So one thing that I've really embraced, because like it's not scary for me to watch a horror movie and feel scared. Like I enjoy that, right? So we've sort of enjoyed, or I've embraced, in order to include my wife in some of this in October, stuff that's more on the funnier side. And I think there's a lot of stuff. I'd include kids stuff in that, right? I mean, like our kids love Hocus Pocus and Halloween Town and stuff.
Love Hocus Pocus.
Yes. But one that I know you love that I think is the perfect, like, scary, funny movie because it is a little scarier than just a comedy or a kids movie, but it is also super funny is Cabin in the Woods.
Amen, brother.
Which is in a string. It's a Joss Whedon movie. It's in a line with, I would say, like Scream and some other kind of like self-aware, self-referential movies that have jokes in them. But I think Cabin in the Woods, I loved it the first time I saw it, but I would not have thought it would become a movie that I would watch every year. Mm-hmm. And I think I've watched it like 6 years in a row now or something.
Yeah, and yeah. Go see it, and no spoiler alert, but it's one of those horror movies where you're
great.
Like,
yeah, just go see it.
I mean, it's one of those horror movies where it's like, oh, you went the extra mile at the end to
give me that
little bit extra that is going to make me remember this movie that much more.
For sure.
I really appreciate that in just screenwriting in general. When somebody saves like a really great nugget for the third act and then they take it the next step that you weren't expecting, oof, that's good writing, man. And Cabin in the Woods is great writing.
Have you seen The Mist?
The Mist, no.
I'll tell you about off of that. The ending of that is probably the most horrifying example of what you just described.
Yes. All right, cool. Cabin in the Woods and The Mist, get on it. My recommendation for this week, I think I mentioned him last week. I said to rewatch New Girl. Jake Johnson is one of my favorite like TV actors, and I don't watch a lot of network television. If I do watch network television, it's kind of like after the fact on a streaming service. But I got a chance to check out Stumptown. It's like the new ABC show with Colby Summers. Also from a show that I used to watch, How I Met Your Mother, and Jake Johnson. And it's, do you remember when we first saw Daredevil on Netflix and we were like, have you seen Daredevil? It's actually real fighting.
Yeah.
Well, in this Stumptown show, it's real fighting, but it's funny because, you know, Colby Summers is a military trained woman, so she can fight men, but inevitably, like, they're stronger, so they're kind of beating her, right? But then she uses things in the room to beat them, and it's, like, the most realistic.
She Jackie Chan's it.
Yeah, it's, like, it's very realistic non-cable, basic cable violence. And I don't know, they just pulled it off really good. And I've only seen a couple episodes, so I can't, like, say go watch the whole show. But if you get a chance to see it, specifically the first two episodes, check it out, because I think the violence on television is always changing, and I think the more realistic violence is on television, the less desensitizing it is.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I really like
the
way that this is moving.
The less of it you need, too, right? The more potent it is, the less you need.
Amen. You're absolutely right. Well, we got to get out of here. We've got another busy weekend full of covering Long Beach sports, and we're bringing it to you at the 562 in the Long Beach Post. So thank you to everybody there who makes this show possible. We'll see you in the stands this weekend. Be good and have fun.